Welcome to the special February 24th edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. Today, Pastor Jonathan is out of town visiting family, so we don't have the traditional sermon for you, but we have something that you'll find uplifting and inspirational. First EPC has had a long-standing relationship with ministry going on in Reynosa, Mexico. For many years, we've sent groups to Reynosa once or even multiple times per year. Today, the team from the most recent trip, which was just this past week, will share from their hearts about what they experienced and what they learned about themselves and about God. We know that you'll enjoy their message. Here they are, the First EPC Mexico Mission Team.
I am not your pastor. But a couple of weeks ago, Jonathan told me that he was going to be gone this Sunday. And Jonathan was really excited about this mission trip. And he said, I want you guys to do the service. I thought, okay. So this is going to be a little different. The scripture readings this morning were basically about missions. And this church has become and is becoming more and more a missional church. So what we're going to do today is I'm just going to invite the whole team to come up here. And I just want you to hear what God did this last week through this church and through this group of brothers and sisters that I've grown to love. Listen to the stories. Listen to what God has done by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, what he has done in our lives and what he's done down there. And I'm just going to invite you guys to come up however you want to do it, and then I'll just say a couple words at the end. Go, Jeff. And if you would, when you come up for the recording, because this is going to be on the website and the service is recorded, just say who you are. Most people know who you are. But who are you?
My name's Jeff Clendenin. I'm not exactly sure how many trips I've made down there, somewhere around 12 or 13, and they just continue to get better and better. I want to start just by thanking the church. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your prayers. Is Becky Plemon here today? She was my prayer partner, and I'm not exactly sure what all she prayed for, but I'm pretty sure she prayed that I eat more this week than I've ever eaten in my life. And I did my part to make that prayer come true. But I do appreciate my prayer partner and appreciate the prayers of a church. And I don't want to embarrass Lowell, but Lowell and Joyce are always such an important part of this trip for me. In ways that no one else knows about. So I thank you, Lowell, and Joyce. So I'm a little bit nervous. I want to say one of the things I really enjoy about these trips is when there are some people that haven't been there before, and we get the opportunity to meet them. And this year, Rick, Brian, and Jennifer, it was their first time going. And so I just want to say to them, what a honor and privilege to get to know you guys. If I can just address Jennifer's parents directly, you should be so, so proud of your daughter. She blessed my life. She blessed these people's lives. And I know of about 80 kids' lives that she touched as well. So it was just a blessing. I'm just going to tell a story or two. I'm just smart enough to know a few words in Spanish and just stupid enough to try to use them. And so one of the stories was one of our jobs was to put a shower in for the pastor down at the church where we served. We thought it would be a real simple job. We were just going to put a tub surround in and a little bit of plumbing and it would be done. We did not find a tub surround in Mexico, so it turned into a tile job, which I've done a little bit of tile work, so I was comfortable with that, but we didn't have a saw. So walking over to Desiderio's house, there was some workers there that were doing tile work, and we communicated with them a little bit, and one of the gentlemen came over, looked at the job, and agreed that they would make the cuts in the tile that we would have to make since we didn't have a way to cut them. And he just said, for a charge, just buy him a Coke. And so the next day, I went over there and took the tile to be cut, or it was later that day, I guess. And then I tried to figure out how many there were, because I didn't want to just buy him a Coke, but I wanted to buy the whole crew a Coke. And I hired them for 2 days accidentally to come and so then I run to Stuart and just say, get me out of this. Get me out of this. So let's see what else there was. There's kind of become a tradition down there on Thursday nights that we have a party, and the guests of honor are the two families that I've gotten to know over the years, and nearly all of them were able to come out, all of the kids. It started out with six little girls that I got to know through Bible school, four in one family and two in the other. Three of them are now married. There's five little children in that group now, and they range from 1 to 10 the year that I first met them, and now they've grown and have families, and it is truly an honor to be called Grandpa by those little children, and I love that very, very much. So a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, Bill Rader was in town, and he and a few of us got together, and we had lunch, and I remember Bill saying, someone asked Bill how we can pray for him. And his response was, pray for purity of heart. And when we sang that song this morning, I thought about that. And I kind of adopted that prayer from Bill, and I selfishly pray for myself quite a bit. And purity of heart is a part of that prayer. And my trips to Reynosa, I get to experience a little bit of a purer heart. It's a way that God truly, truly blesses me during that time. I look forward to this week more than any week of the year. I look forward to a little colonia called Pedro Otamendez, which is built on a garbage dump, more than I look forward to going to any place in the world. If I have to make a choice between Naples, Florida, Destin, or Pedro Otamendez, I'll take Pedro Otamendez every time. Thank you, guys.
I would like to help you, Joe Plemon. Can't even remember the simple things, but I want to help you get some of the big picture of the work that's been happening at Desiderio's church. We've been working there the last 4 years. When we went in 2009, the church itself has no room, needs to grow, but the building could not be expanded outward, and so the goal was to expand it upward, put another level on it, concrete block building, and put another concrete floor, and then come up with walls and put a concrete ceiling. The church had been saving for years and were nowhere near able to pay for that, and it one of those many coincidences that we know are not coincidences happened that year. You had sent money that needed to be used in the mission work, and we were merely the couriers of your money. And Desiderio, we didn't really know how deeply, but he was depressed because his ministry was struggling, the church was struggling, they wanted to grow. And our gift, we were able to give money so they could pour the take the old roof off and pour a concrete floor. And according to George and Jan, that was key to Desiderio, the minister, for him to be re-energized and continue the work. So in 2009, we were there, and they had the old roof, which is a truss-type roof with metal roofing on it. And the only place we could do VBS was on that one floor. And it was about, imagine the pews in this center pew is kind of like that. And that's the building. And Ashley led, she led the VBS. So you got these kids coming in. And it's okay, they sit in the pews, but when you do crafts, we had to move the pews, put chairs up, try to put some tables in, and it was not easy for them to sit at the tables and do the crafts. Imagine doing all that in this space. So when we went back the next year after we had given the gift, and again, when I say we, I mean we're the couriers, you're the gift givers, the church had indeed taken the old roof off and poured a new concrete floor on the for the second level. And so our team, I don't know if any of us knew how to lay blocks, but we did our best, and we laid blocks for the walls to come on up for the new, eventually the new concrete roof. So the second floor was in progress. The next year we came back, which would have been 2012, and the new roof was in place. And we did work. We worked on the upstairs bathrooms and tried to make this second level as functional as possible. But things were opening up. There was space. So this year, the main structural work was done. We had a lot of little jobs to make the place better. But the true work is in dealing with people and helping people and being, and really it's Vacation Bible School. So we would stay busy, and I don't mean it wasn't valuable work, but I'm saying the real heart of these trips is working with the people and seeing the ministries take place. So this year, and Ashley, you'll appreciate this, because as I said, she led the VBS in 2009. She knew what it was like to be confined. And so we were able to lead VBS. We would have the kids in their plastic chairs in one part of the upstairs room, and then we could have the tables all set up for crafts over on another part. They could just get up, walk over, do crafts. Man, it was great. And we had 18 kids the first day. And so that was well organized, you know, neat. They could do this, do that. The next day we had, that was Monday. Tuesday we had, I think, 34 kids. And so it was still working good. You know, we had to take the chairs, or we didn't actually have to move too many chairs that day. But then the next day we had like 45 kids. And so we had to borrow the chairs from the craft area so they could all sit together during the music, during the memory verse. Someday maybe we'll show you how they do memory verses. And before I forget to say this, when they would come at 2 o'clock each day, there were, imagine, dozens of kids waiting patiently in line so they can say their memory verse before they come in and we start VBS. So VBS would be, we'd have music, we would have a skit every day, which your team was doing the skits, and memory verse. What else did I leave out? Well, playtime when they first come. After they've said their memory verse, then there's playtime before everything officially starts. So what day was I on? The third day? We had to move the chairs from the craft area so they could do VBS. Well, by the fourth day, there were about 55 kids, and so we had to move all the chairs over here and then all the chairs back so they could have a place to sit. And the fifth day, well, sorry, we were full. Somebody say the number. How many kids? 76 kids. And we had to go downstairs and get more chairs and more tables. So Desiderio, there was lots of these kids that he didn't know. So he went, got paper and pencil, and started learning who these kids are, because these are contacts for him and his congregation. And it couldn't have happened in that sanctuary. There just was physically not room. So it's the physical work turned into a spiritual blessing. And you all are instrumental in what's happening. It's just a privilege to be here and at the same time be a part of a church and a ministry that you're able to see it grow year after year after year. Thank you.
Brian King, and I definitely have to go now before the waterworks starts, because I know it's going to just build and build from there, then I won't be able to speak. I just like to thank all of you out there that allowed me to go on this trip. Thank my fellow crew members and my fellow warriors in Christ. And I say warriors in Christ because I feel like we went down there to do battle for our Lord Yahweh and his kingdom. And it's definitely a battle that we won. And it reminds me of one of my favorite songs is, if Christ is with us and for us, then who could stand against? And Christ was definitely there with us, and there was no way we weren't coming out victorious. And I'd just like to kind of share what the Lord kind of showed me and changed me. And I'm a completely different person because of this trip. This is kind of blocking my view of everybody. Un momento. I'm a visual learner, and the way that the Lord kind of showed me a few things of how I changed throughout the trip, he kind of showed me that I was this big rock with arms, legs, and a head. And on this trip, each day he kind of was sitting there chiseling away at it, kind of breaking me down. And before this trip started, Stuart had mentioned that everything down there is broken. Streets are broken, buildings are broken, and just everything's just broken and in pieces. And I feel like each day that's what the Lord was doing. He was breaking me down into finer pieces. And the very last day, I was laying in bed on Friday, and couldn't sleep. And the Lord kind of showed me the greater picture of what happened that week to me was all these pieces that he was breaking away from me. He gathered up and added his water to it, made a new mortar, and he basically formed me into a brick. And I could label this brick mission trip to Mexico, and this is a part of me that he has now, I'm now laying in a path towards the Holy Kingdom. A brick that others can now walk upon and place their bricks and further this path. And now I can now walk further along that path to lay another brick where he's going to continue to break me down and build me into another brick. So that's how like the Lord kind of showed me what he did to me down there. And he definitely broke a hold that the enemy had on my heart. I've never been so emotional in my life besides this trip. Just watching everybody out there tell their stories each and every day that we kind of ate and just shared our day. And everybody spoke from the heart. And like every time they were talking, I would tear up. And my family has probably seen me tear up once in my life, other than when I was little, but that doesn't count. And so that's like a big thing for me, was that the Lord was able to soften my heart in a lot of ways. And it's just changed me internally. I was telling our Bible study school class this morning that if I was to look at myself 2 weeks ago and now, I wouldn't be able to recognize myself internally. Like, I'm forever changed, and that's something that the enemy cannot take away from me. It's always there. And I could just go forward from there. Like, it can't be taken away. And my fellow crew members helped me with that. The people down there helped me with that. And the Lord helped me with that. Like, he was the one guiding us, guiding everything. And he knew my heart, and he knew what he had to do to break it so I could become softened. And I'd just like to thank you guys for being awesome out there, helping me grow into who I am now, you know. And I could stand here and say that I will go proudly with any one of you and do battle in the Lord's name. There isn't a single person there on this crew that I wouldn't trust my life with. And definitely in Mexico, where it's some people may have fear that it's a bad place, and you need a crew to go down there to conquer that fear, which we don't need a crew. There's only one person we need in our hearts to get us through that fear, and that's our Lord Yahweh. And he takes away that fear, a fear that is non-existent. Like, it shouldn't even be there. Like, Mexico is not a place to fear. Like, these people have more faith because of this brokenness that they have, of all this frivolous things. They don't have TV. They don't have the latest up-to-date new phones to distract them. All they have is faith in the Lord, and they walk in that more than 80% of us Americans. And I thank the Lord that he has these people so that we can go down there and see the workings of the Lord, see their faith, and change us. And just hopefully that we could come back here to help show others the workings of the Lord has in each of us here and down there. That's pretty much all I have.
I'm Bruce Bible, and this is the third year that I had gone to Mexico, so I'm not a newbie, but I'm not an old-timer like some of the fellows on the trip. And I've learned something every year, learned something the first year, something different the second year, and then actually was able to tie it together this third year. The first year, I learned why there's a difference between sending money to Reynosa and why you take money via people, missionaries. And it's all about relationships. And, of course, Christianity is all about relationships, our relationship with our Lord, our relationship with our fellow believers, and as Jonathan was telling us not too many weeks ago, our relationship with our neighbors, wherever they may be. And then the second year, the lesson I learned had to do with the fact that we're never going to be able to touch this poverty that we see in Reynosa. That's really not why we go. We go to help the pastor, the pastor's family, the pastor's church, to spread the gospel. That's the important thing. So then this year, I saw both of those lessons kind of pulled together through one little girl at VBS. And Joe did a great job of explaining the immensity of what EBS has turned into and the excitement and all. But this one little girl was different. You see, the last couple of years, I have positioned myself at the front door of the church, which is basically about this far from the street. And I'm the friendly greeter. About a half hour before VBS starts, I'm down on the street, and I'm about the first person to shake their hand and say hola to and direct them to VBS. Well, VBS on the first day was just about ready to start, and this one little girl, very nicely dressed, but very, very timid, very, very shy, She stood out in the street. And that's different. See, most of the kids, they just run right in. They're happy, they're shaking my hand, and off they go. But this little girl just stood out there and looked at me. And like Jeff, I am really fluent in Spanish, so in my best, I'm saying Escuela Biblica. And I get this slight little nod. Okay, but now I don't know what else to say. I don't know how to say, come on in, you know. I just go out and just kind of, you know, a little hand behind the back, just sort of walk her in. And I noticed that day she didn't interact with anybody. She seemed to kind of enjoy everything to a great degree, but didn't interact with anybody. So at the end of the day, I wondered if I'd even see this little girl again. And then the second day, I'll be darned, she did come back again. Again, almost right before everything's to start, you know, so she didn't interact with all the kids that you heard about, all the playing going on. And again, I kind of had to kind of walk her in a little bit. And I saw this happen for 4 days in a row. And we're looking at Friday, our last day there, and I'm thinking, I've got to do a little something different. So I had team members, Jonathan and Jenny. I explained to them that this is a little girl that basically has gone unnoticed all week long, and that's okay with her, and that's the way it was going. But what I noticed is these two were like rock stars. I mean, they had kids taking their pictures, and they were swarming around them, and it was really neat. But this little girl was not going to ever have her picture taken. She wasn't going to be part of anything like that. So they agreed that they'd make a real effort to get a picture of this little girl and have her at least feel a little bit more, you know, part of the whole scene. And then Jim, because I'm so weak in Spanish, had a way of getting around a few obstacles to get her name and her correct spelling, because that was a little bit of a challenge too. And I wanted their name because I just did up something real homemade and handmade, and I'm not very creative, that basically said the Rebecca, which is her name, Jesus loves you, Christo te amama, right? Okay, from Bruce. The last thing that was neat about that day, all of that happened. I got to do that. She got their picture taken. And this shy little girl who I had to escort in the first 4 days, on Friday the fifth day, she had two little boys on both sides of her as she came on in the church. And she didn't need any help from me. It was just really neat to see. So what I saw there was, you know, why do we send the mission team? Well, it's relationships. And what are we really accomplishing? It's the gospel. And I don't think that little girl probably was churched. But there's it. That's the Dario, wanting to get names and addresses and follow up. So that was my trip this year, where I tied together some things that really I believe, but then I got to witness them. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank my prayer partner Karen Hubbs too for praying for me all week long, because I do struggle. It's a tough environment with all the dust and your allergies and having a week back and the things that we do. So I really appreciate her getting me through and God getting me through. And thank you so for your support.
I also just wanted to take time to thank you as a church for allowing different missions. Oh, excuse me, I'm Jim Harris. Jaime, as I'm known down south. Or Jaimito, I like better, but that means little Jim. I just wanted to thank the church, because it is so meaningful to the church there that we come along with the money that we bring and can help with the projects that are needed. But as several have already said, we couldn't do this without the support of the church. And there are individuals that we don't know who you are that have given specifically to our mission that it became extremely important to us. I too want to thank my prayer partner, who was Sandra Gould, and I think that apparently the prayers were pouring down, because as we went down, we went early this year so we could go to what we thought was going to be a worship service. And I thought it was a worship service, but it turned out it was Sunday school. But it seemed like a worship service. I was going to brag on the fact that I really liked this worship service there, because as Desiderio was doing his thing, he'd ask somebody to read, and somebody would jump up and read, and then they would answer questions. And I said, I've always wanted to be in a church during the preaching time where I could respond when I didn't think what was coming out was right. You know, I said, this is my kind of church, and then I find out I'm in Sunday school. But anyway, I do thank you so much. And I do want to mention, this is only my second year. I probably go every other year. I don't know that I'm unlike Jeff, who can go for 14 in a row. I went in 2011, and then I went again this year, and I come back, and I look and say, well, am I going to go back next year? I don't know. The Lord will tell me as we get closer to that time next year. But you hear about the money that we take. And I have minimal facility in Spanish, but it's a little better than some of the other in the group. So, and Desiderio thinks I must understand everything, because he usually looks to me and starts telling me something that I'm to tell the others. And then I have to ask him to slow down, repeat, and then we may get it across. But one of the things he wanted to make sure that I understood is, yes, he appreciates everything that we do as a group and the materials that we're able to purchase, but he makes it very clear to me, and I think he told the same thing to Stuart. He said he didn't want us to do everything for the church. He said, this is our church, and our people must take and do their part. So he needs some help, but he wants his people to take up what pieces they can do and take part in getting to see that they're done. And I thought that was extremely important. One other comment, because I think we could talk forever, and I think Stuart wants to. We got some people that are new that are supposed to come up here and talk. I think that the thing that I think is so important to us as we look at this past week, and as all of you that have prayed for us, it was amazing to me how things got done. Everything that Desiderio had asked us to do, all of those projects got done, and they all got done between 9 and 1, because we always quit about 1 so we could eat and then get ready for Bible school, which was from 2 to about 4. And so, those few hours in there, we were able to get and accomplish every little thing. Weren't big things this time, but they were important things to Desiderio. And you could just see him shining when he'd come and see that the lights did work upstairs, and that we got fans on the wall that he wanted so badly, and on with the projects. And it was just a real great feeling. And I hope that Desiderio will come and visit us in this coming year. He won't be able to speak to you, but we'll have someone. He'll speak to you, but you won't understand. Most of us won't understand, but there'll be someone to explain. But we would love for you to meet this man that has become so dear to us, and so that you too can have a feeling and have a picture of the man who's the pastor of the church that we for the past 4 years have been working in. And he's a wonderful, wonderful, sweet man. So I hope you get to meet him.
Hola. Rick Vicenzi is my name. It's my first year, and when the scripture was read this morning, obviously I couldn't get around not speaking, because it was what I did my devotion off of this past week. And when I first committed to this, my thought process was, we're going down with a list of projects to complete. And it was not until about day two or three we were down there, and I realized our projects, not that they're unimportant, but that was a filler in the morning till we got to VBS in the afternoon. And my communication, as well as Jeff's and 95% of us, struggle. But the kids, they just beam and smile at you. So even though we cannot just communicate with them, I think they understood. You know, we were a witness there for them to host that. And I told Steph last night, I said, I wondered what they were doing yesterday at 2 o'clock because we did not have VBS. We were on the road. And it they got a void in their life just like us. But, you know, our what I told the group when I did my devotion, my profession is an athletic trainer. And I could sit up here and we could talk at length about that. But what I learned this week, my profession should be a disciple of Christ. And that should be that's my profession. My job as an athletic trainer is a secondary job. So what I'm taking from the trip is that, you know, I need to be a witness, not only 10 to 15 miles across the border, but I need to be a witness here in our area, communicating with the youth and adults that are not saved. And I don't know if Julie's here. Julie Lewis? We need to talk. You were a little slacking on your prayer for day one, but you and I will talk about that later. But after that, you picked up the pace. I appreciate that, but no, thank you. My group down here understands what that's all about, but and there's no picture. That's good. So I know. So again, thank you for your prayers, your commitment to the teams that have gone down there prior to us. I think what I understood, you know, the projects that are at Desiderio's house and church are somewhat coming to a. We're not sure how much more is there, and getting to meet him, you can't help not to like him. And the thing that I brought back was, check it out, you know. He was so proud of everything, and just his commitment to the faith and to the word. So again, thank you for your prayers and your contributions and our safe travel to and from.
Star, we travel together.
Yes. Okay.
Don't forget to say your name.
Oh, yes. My name is Jennifer May, also known as Jonathan's girlfriend. You'll just have to bear with me. I won't be able to make it through this without crying. And they all learned this a week ago tonight. So, like everyone else said, I want to thank everyone that helped us get down there. I want to thank Jamie for dog sitting. And all of the donations and just the support, and my prayer partner, Candace. Okay. All right. I also want to thank George and Jan Waterman. I'm sure a lot of you aren't familiar with them, but they are our link down to Reynosa. So going into this trip, I had by far the worst attitude. I agreed to it a long time ago, and the closer it got, the more I was starting to wonder what I had agreed to. Did I just want to go to Mexico with my boyfriend, or did I truly understand what I was going down there to do? And I can tell you, I had no idea. So I had also started a new job. I'd only worked there for 4 weeks, and the last thing I wanted to do was say, oh, by the way, I'm going to Mexico. So luckily, God worked that all out, and we drove 20 hours, crossed the border with no problems, and luckily, I never had a fear at all, which is very rare for me. Okay, sorry, I have notes. Okay, I left Anna with a very hard heart. I'm very stubborn and standoffish, and I have returned. I have returned with a very soft and humble heart. So I thought that Reynosa would be very broken because that's how everyone has described it. You know, we did get a slight warning about how bad the roads were and the houses and where they lived and the conditions that they lived in, and so I automatically assumed that the people would be very broken. Well, I was very wrong about that. The people have very open hearts and open arms, which is very odd to me because, one, they can't understand us. You know, we look different, and that didn't faze them. They wanted to accept me and hug me, and I cannot explain in words how amazing those kids feel. And they are cute. Okay, so God tested my faith through a young girl named Yusi. She is 15 years old, and she came every day. I first saw her on Sunday whenever we went to Bible school. Come on, Jim Harris, you gotta smile. We went to Bible school, and this girl, 15 years old, was unbelievable on the drums. And I have a video of her if you want to see it. But she was glowing, constantly glowing. So it wasn't until about Wednesday that I found out where this young girl lived. And I would have never guessed it because she had on her school uniform. She had her little brother with her who had his awesome comb over. And, you know, they looked like very clean children. And so it truly broke my heart to see where this girl lived. And God tested my faith because he said, she can live here and not have anything. And the faith that she has, my love is flowing out of her eyes. So why can't you do this? Why can't you have a church and a family and support like Jonathan, but yet my love doesn't flow out of your eyes? You know, people will look at me and they may not even know I'm a Christian. So he truly tested my faith through this 15-year-old, and I am going to constantly have to remind myself of UC and that I have lost my train of thought. Oh, well, on Friday, the last day, all week, you know, we prayed before our amazing breakfast and before our dinner. And all week, you know, God really told me, you need to pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. And I never did because of my pride and my stubbornness. And on Friday, this young girl took Tammy into her house, and her mom had made us sopas. So she brought it to lunch for us on Friday, and she prayed. And you have to understand, there is a language barrier. So at first she was like, okay, you're asking me to pray. And this girl on Friday, 15 years old, prayed for our lunch. And I am 25 years old, and I could not pray in the comfort zone of people that I speak the same language of. So God has truly, he's testing me. And so Brian brought to my attention a scripture. Can you hold that? A scripture. It's Isaiah 61. So I'm going to read that for you. And he only said Isaiah 61, but I had to read on through verse 5. Okay. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All will assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then they will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Brian brought this scripture to my attention Sunday night after I crumbled and opened up to all of these men. And just by that little part, I opened up to Brian and he brought that scripture to me. So I am more than ready to rise for God because he has definitely called me and I can't ignore it anymore. After my experience down in Reynosa, I have to bring it back here. And I cannot go back to my old ways now that I'm back in this broken world. I cannot continue after my heart has met a young woman like you see.
How am I supposed to follow that? Whew. I'm Jonathan Plemon. Public speaking is not my favorite thing in the world. And I will try to hold myself together as well. The group can't say enough good about them. I'm going to try to throw a little humor in here just to keep myself together. But just in general, we met several times. We prayed, got to know each other. And the dynamic of this group was awesome. And I will tell you that if you're meeting ahead of time and you have Jim Harris and Jeff Clendenin in the same group, and Jim prays about an arduous trip to Mexico, you're going to lose Jeff after arduous, because he doesn't know what that means. But, you know, these trips are always a joy. I knew that. That's why I went. I didn't have to make excuses or say why I would or wouldn't go. I just knew that I needed to go, because it's all, everything about it is wonderful. But I enjoyed getting to know some of these people. Sorry, I'm really trying not to get emotional. Whew. First one was Bruce. We all see Bruce. He's just so nice, happy. And, you know, I was trying to think of different ways to describe Bruce and what to write down, and I could only just think pleasant. He's just so pleasant. And having Bruce around, you know, it'll make anyone's day brighter. And it did mine. And Rick Vicenzi, gosh, I jotted down some notes here, and it says, other than his honeymoon, I think this was the best week of his life. You don't have to respond to that, Rick, but that's how I took it. But watching Rick connect with these Mexican people, and especially the children, just made my week. I couldn't tell you how much I enjoyed just sitting back and watching Rick. And Brian. I didn't know Brian other than I saw him here a few times. I had no idea who he was. The selfish person in me, I stayed in my comfort zone. I never took the time to even shake his hand or say hi. But I tell you, Brian is a very sincere, passionate, humble man. And I truly believe that his acting in the VBS skits will remain with these kids for a lifetime. And Jim. Oh, Jim, where's Shirley? Shirley, sweetheart, you're an angel. I tell you, you talk about having dynamic in a group. You throw Jim Harris in there and you got it. Jim was affectionately known as the geezer. There is a story behind that, but we know Jim to be very, very long-winded. He lives by a very strict schedule. Always knows the weather forecast. He was well aware of the exchange rate of the peso to the dollar. And Jim, he likes children if they fall within certain guidelines. I can tell you something else. He has no problem talking for hours on end, even if it's 10:30 at night. My eyes have been closed for 30 minutes. That being said, for some reason with Jim, I thoroughly enjoyed connecting with him this week. And even though he is an old geezer, I consider Jim a good friend now, and I'm proud to call him my brother in Christ. I'm not done yet. There are a few things that I wanted to tie together that have been on my mind for years. And my father challenged us to step out of our comfort zone. Obviously, I'm not comfortable. My voice is shaking. And so I took some notes, and I hope this comes out the way I intend it to, but I'm going to speak from some of my own convictions to share a few things. And it's not ironic that Rick did a devotional on Matthew 28. It was in the bulletin this morning. And I jotted it down this morning, just thinking of, as a whole, there's no divide between this Mexico group and the church people. We're all one. And I will read Matthew 28 again, because it's our common bond. And what we're doing in Mexico and what we do at Anna is the same thing. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always and to the end of age." And one other verse that I jotted down that I read it several years ago and it just stuck with me. And my interpretation may be different than yours. But it's John 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." That being said, tying this all together with us and the church group, I understand that Mexico trips are not for everyone, but sharing God's word is. We live in a broken world, and our only hope is in God. Because I care deeply for everyone around me, I ask that you let people recognize your fruits. Let your light shine. Put your faith in God alone. He is in control and will not let you down. And as I know we've gone over, and I feel like Jim Harris, but as we are ending this service, I'm going to leave you with something that I heard quite some time ago. I was driving and listening to a sermon, and it just stuck with me and stuck with me, and I just played over and over again in my head. But it says, "Your church service starts when you leave here today." So I ask you, each and every one of you, that when you leave here today, remember that. Church service is not here. It's here. Thank you.
John Huey, this is my third trip to Reynosa, and I know typically I think we were allowed 20 minutes, which passed 20 minutes ago, but anyway, bear with me for just a few minutes, and Bruce, this is not going to be the consummate 12-minute sermon that you and I grew up being used to. I have learned, as the rest of our mission team has learned, about the importance of our relationship with the people in Mexico. And their prayers while we're there, them being the people of Mexico and the church that we work in down there, is so vitally important to each and every one of us on the team. I'd like to thank my prayer partner, Mitch. So he kept me strong, unlike Gary Meyer last summer, who had one day that, I appreciate that. I did a devotion yesterday morning, and it was one of those, Saturday is getaway day, as I like to call it, and we had to be in kind of a hurry, and I tried to tie things together, and I hope I did an okay job of doing that. But one of my favorite parables is the parable of the sower, found in Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus' explanation is found in chapter 13 and verse 23, and I'd like to share that with you. And it talks in this, and just kind of for those who may be not terribly familiar with it, the seed in which Jesus refers to here is the Word. And the soil in which he refers to is the people. He said, "But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." And I will guarantee you with everything I can guarantee you with, there was lots of good seed sown, and it was sown in a lot of good soil. Thank you.
Okay, we've gone over sermon time.
Did you want to say something, Tammy?
Tammy?
It's really not fair to guilt me to do this. Guilting people. I'm not really sure what I want to say, to be honest with you, this morning. This is why I did not want to come up here. This is my eighth or ninth trip to Mexico. To go and see these people who literally live in trash, who have joy in their hearts, and who love the Lord and know His love is overwhelming. And to look at my heart and the selfishness and just the self-centeredness that I have. I don't even know really what to say. But I do thank every one of you that you continue to support us and allow us to be the ones who go. Because we get the blessing. We get the blessing that you don't get to experience. And we can talk to you all day long. And we can show you pictures. But until you smell it and you feel it, you can't understand the depth of God's love that is there in a trash dump. People living in places that would be condemned here. People that welcome you into their homes that we would never, if we lived there, we would never want anyone to come into our home. You see, said to us at the end of the week, it's not the money, it's because you come here. And she lives in a house that is block and cardboard and plywood, and the doors are sheets. And I just want to thank you, Miss Leslie, for being my prayer partner, because I felt it all week, and there's no one I would rather have praying for me than you. And it was a great privilege to be with every one of these people, because they love the Lord. And they are amazing people. And all of our lives are changed every time we go. And I know some of you can't go, but if it is ever a tug on your heart, you will never be the same when you come back. That's all I have.
I'm not going to stretch this out because you have heard what you needed to hear. Jonathan did ask me to kind of wrap it up. And would you put that scripture up? The third scripture that Julie read this morning was not up there, and it was not in your bulletins. But this is a scripture that Jonathan and I talked about. And this is one of my favorite missionary scriptures. It starts with the word, and that's what Jonathan is trying to get us to realize. It's all about the word of God. Why do we do this? Why do we go? It's because of the word. And at the end of this scripture, it talks about, I see this as missionaries. You know, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. But they can't bring good news without somebody sending them. And there are two senders. The first is God. God sends us, all of us. He sends some of us to Mexico, but he sends all of us to the world. This is a broken world. You heard that said. It's probably not any more broken down there than it is here. We're just broken in different ways. So the first sender is God. The second sender is this body. And you are the ones that enable us to do this. And I see God, what I've seen this week is God's provision. God provided way before we even started getting together to talk about this trip. God knew what was going to happen. He provided these people. We can't do it without, you know, you can't do any of this. You cannot spread the word without a willing heart, a willingness to go. You can't do it without someone sending you. And you are the senders. God enabled that. And God provided all of that. And it doesn't matter whether we're going to Mexico or Mississippi or West Virginia or Johnson County. It's all the same. It's a broken world. We are broken people. But God uses us to do something amazing that some of us get to see. But we hope that as we come back, we can express that to you. Two things happen when we go to these places. And I don't, like I say, I don't care whether it's Mississippi or West Virginia or Johnson County to the prison or if it's Reynosa. We see the ugliness. We see the trash heap. We see the houses that are broken. We see a government that's broken. There's no... Tammy picked up a nail one day and handed it to me. She said, "What's this?" I said, "It's pavement." That's what you find in the streets down there is nails and glass and broken tiles. We can't fix that. And it's overwhelming when you first go there because you want to fix it. But you realize as the week goes on, that's not what we're there for. We're not there to fix that place. What we're there for is what these guys told you. We're there to plant little seeds in children. Even though we can't speak to them, God enables that through His Holy Spirit. He enables us to do that, to plant little seeds in little children. That is the kingdom of God. The second thing that happens when we go to these places, and you heard that from everybody that got up this morning, God changes us. We're the broken ones. And the Holy Spirit takes those broken hearts and makes that brick. Exactly what Brian said. But that happens because God sends us and you send us. So I thank you for being a church that knows missions. And I want all of you to go somewhere. Do something. If you can come to Reynosa, it is a great place. There are people living their lives there just like we're living our lives here. But go be the light of Christ coming out of your eyes. Do that. That's what we're about. And thank you, Linda, for being my prayer partner.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. And now, here's Stuart Anderson with some closing thoughts and a benediction.
All that you heard this morning is still going on. The kids are having a dinner to raise money, to go on a mission. Support that, because they're the ones that are going to be doing this as they grow up. Encourage that, nurture that, nourish that. So go and support the kids. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church in Ann, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.